Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Welcome back to the Challenge Podcast. So I am doing the series that I love the best, which is catching up with all the champions of the January Challenge. So today I have got the runner-up of the Maxine's Challenge, the last Maxine's Challenge we're ever running before we go to the M Challenge. We have Jen Woe with us today. Welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you because I'm looking at your transformation and it's absolutely crazy. I know that you would have worked pretty hard to get there. So I'm excited to hear all about that. How are you today and what's going on for you today?
I'm really, really good. I've just flown in hot from work. I had all my students at TAFE getting their certificates. So I feel like we're kicking goals with them.
Mm-hmm.
Come home. I'm about to, as soon as this is done, go get my children from their respective daycares and then start the afternoon shenanigans of dinner, shower, and bedtime.
Start the evening rituals. So how many kids
That's
have you
right.
got? How many kids?
I've been lucky enough to be blessed with two.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in my final responses about the trigger for me when it came to my downfall with my own fitness and my happiness. My cup for me started emptying when we found out we couldn't have children. And this was, this happened after a year spent trying to have children, and turns out we can't, both my husband and I can't have children. And I was always a fit bunny. I loved going to the gym. I loved me my Les Mills. I loved weights, and that was a big part of my life, and all of a sudden a part of my life that I wanted more wasn't able to have that. And that's when my cup started to empty. Dealing with the challenges of infertility, making it worse. We're 2,000 kilometers away from a capital city.
Wow.
And then waiting a year to see specialists in that capital city, only to find out they can't help us, and then having to travel 5,000 kilometres away to find another one, to give us a hand. So, all of a sudden I'm not gymming anymore, but I'm still eating like a champ, and I think emotional eating comes into that.
Wow.
So anyway, two really, really infertile people have two really beautiful babies at the end of this. And as much as they drive me insane, I am so thankful that they're in my life.
Wow. Congratulations. I'm so happy.
Thank you.
That's such a success story in itself. I mean, there are so many people listening to this that would have the same struggles. So thank you for sharing that, because it sort of shows that there is hope for everyone.
Well, we've never been secretive about our infertility struggles and how our children came to be in this world. Because when we first started trying, we just thought, you just had babies. That's just what happened. And you don't hear about these stories. And both my husband and myself feel it's really important to, whenever you get an opportunity to talk about it, to make it normal and make it okay. And that, at the end of the day, our family doesn't look the way we thought it would, but that is our family, and blood doesn't make family.
100%.
The way you interact with each other does.
Yeah, and it makes you appreciate everything more, doesn't it, I think?
Yes, that's it when they're screaming. I could probably do without that.
I was just wondering if you even appreciate their screaming, but, yeah, there's a limit for every mum, isn't there?
There is, and I used to look at these mothers walking around the shopping centre and they would be so frustrated with their children, which, I'm an educator, I can appreciate that frustration. But all I wanted so desperately was to be that mother that was frustrated with that situation, how lucky they were and how much they wanted those stretch marks and, the things that happen to you when you get to bring life into the world. But then on the flip side, when I was lucky enough to have that happen, I really struggled with what happened to my body after children, and managing that, my day-to-day life, and then really in the challenge. how to tackle things like separated abdominals and making sure I didn't do more damage to myself, which are things I never had to think about before I had children.
Mm. How old are they?
My oldest is 6 and my youngest is 4.
Yeah, yeah. So I think of that as quite fresh. Like, that's quite fresh. They're freshies still.
Well, yeah, in fairness, the youngest one has only just turned 4. But, you know, I take my hat off. I've seen I'm quite a quiet person. I am on the social media side and I do read what people post. Even though I don't comment, I appreciate their stories. And just listening or reading how other ladies are also struggling with those things and what they are doing, I find quite inspirational that, you know, I'm not alone. This is okay, and you can do what you can do to overcome whatever it is that you're going through. So to hear the similar stories was, you know, wonderful. And I take my hats off to those ladies and the, you know, the gents that support those ladies in learning how to do things with their new body.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It changes, doesn't it? Everything, it changes when you're a mum, and unless you kind of get that support and knowledge, you can kind of get lost in all of it, and you don't even realize until later on, you know, how much you've kind of neglected everything, not on purpose, but you just kind of give to everyone else.
Yeah. So that's very much me and where I was before the challenge, is that I have a lot of people relying on me, which is fabulous. I love that role. I love being the glue that holds everything together. And without me, you know, things still plod along, but they're not as smooth. So, you know, I enjoy that aspect. But at the same time, I'm always the last in my own race. And that had to change. I realized that had to change. And for me, that was the reason I started the challenge is, you know, these other areas are important. They are so important and I love them so much, but I also need to love myself and I need to make sure that I'm looking after me to be able to make sure that, you know, the glue stays strong and the family still functions.
100% agree. So what drew you specifically to the challenge?
So after I was on quite heavy hormonal treatment to keep my children, in utero. So I gained a lot of weight. I'm only 5'4", which is quite short. And after my second child, I was well over 100 kilos, which I didn't really realise I was carrying that much weight until I looked at a family photo and it hit me like a ton of bricks. So I started on my own journey to get my fit back, my fit Joe. And lost quite a lot of weight after my son just turned 1. And then I had to go back to work. Maternity leave ended. I had to go back to work. And it was kind of around the time COVID happened. I was relief teaching. So I had time to exercise when I wanted and say no to work to find me. But COVID made me go back to work full time. And then I struggled. I struggled because I was out of routine, because I didn't have much time, and I just needed help. I needed direction. I felt like I was just floundering. My husband had done the Max's Challenge shortly after my son was born, so I knew about it from him. Unfortunately, he injured himself and couldn't finish, but it kept coming up again. He kept wanting to try, and I thought, well, let's do it together. One I signed up for was August last year?
The 6 week?
July, August?
Yeah, the six week one. Yeah.
So I signed up to that and plotted along behind the scenes, and then I kind of rolled right into the second 6 week challenge and plotted along with that. And that gave me the self motivation to really give it a red hot crack, do the 12 week and make myself accountable and make my profile public and have accountability, external accountability for my own progress, which then kind of gave me the intrinsic motivation to put in my best.
Yeah, wow. So you only went public in the one that you basically pretty much nearly won.
So to be honest, I said I would be so stoked to make top 50. If I didn't, that was okay. But I would be super stoked to be in that top 50 and just go, that is me. Yeah. And then when I was watching and it was top 10, you know, I think I cried.
Aww.
I rang up my husband, up my husband at work. He was working overtime. And I said, oh, my goodness, I didn't just get top 50. I was top 10 and I was screaming. I think my neighbours would have heard me. And they're completely humbled and blown away with coming first runner-up. I'm so proud of myself and I'm so thankful to the others that recognised, you know, my journey just based on photos and how awesome everybody looked at the end of the challenge, you know, whatever their journey was on for them. Everyone looked fab.
I know. Yeah, it's such a wonderful time for us to see everybody's transformations and just to feel like through the pictures what's gone on for people. When I saw yours, I thought, holy crap, woman, you killed it. I was like, yep, that's hard, that level of shred. But so did you find that pretty intense to get there, or were you just, you know, were you kind of just sticking to everything and it just happened?
It just happened. No, it didn't just happen.
Show me why.
We live in a very, very small country town. I wouldn't say remote, but we're pretty remote.
Mm-hmm.
For example, our nearest road traffic light is 600 kilometres away in another state. Our nearest Macca's is 600 k's away. Like, we don't have much.
Yeah.
Our local gym doesn't have a creche.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very reliant on time management. Mm-hmm. My husband is a shift worker and I'm routine driven. If I do something, I have to have routine. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I talk myself out of it. By the end of the day, I'm like, no, I can't do it. I'm too tired, or I've walked enough. Like, it gives me too long to talk myself out of it.
Oh my God.
So for me,
I can relate to you. Yeah. It's early morning or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what I had to do is work out when I could, knowing that I can't get daycare and my husband's in and out of work. So to get to the point that I did, I would wake up at 2:30 in the morning and get to the gym by 3, which is the mm-hmm. after hours access at our local gym.
Yeah.
And that's only recently started. So I'm very thankful for that. So yeah. I'd be at the gym from 3 till roughly 5. And then sprint home, tag team with my husband who would leave for work, and then go about my day. So, you know, I've been up since 2:30 in the morning, and by breakfast I'm pretty hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I found because I was on the tone and shape, breakfast was quite limited mm-hmm. for my height and my weight.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, I didn't feel full. I had to manage, you know, all of those mental struggles throughout the day. So doing that early morning workout was great for my workout, but then I had to deal with the eating factor during the day and, you know, the staff food on the table, not eating that, and, you know, just pacing myself and learning that, you know, I'm not starving hungry. I just want to eat because I think I want to eat. And the food that I put in my body needs to be serving a purpose, you know, fueling my body. It's like, and I say it to my students when I teach health, you've got to treat your body like a car. You're not going to put unleaded petrol in a diesel car. You've got to put the right fuel in your body for it to function properly. So, you know, I found the early mornings really hard. I had to bring up my bedtime to when my kids went to bed.
Yeah.
So I felt like I wasn't getting any alone time.
Yes.
But I was getting great sleep. Like,
that's good.
Phenomenal sleep. I'm knackered by the end of the day.
But, yeah,
you know, I had to really plan out my day. I had to wake up early and get it in for myself, and I needed to make sure that I was prepared with my meals, which I saw a lot of other people were doing. So I pre-made everything, and that way my brain couldn't kick in and say, oh, you just have another half a cup of rice. Like, it was just done for me and I didn't have to think.
Yeah, true. And I mean, look, 2:30 in the morning is going to do it for you. If anything's going to bring up any sort of demons, it's getting up at that time. You're giving yourself an extra 5 hours in the day, basically, to what everyone else has. Of course, you're going to feel more hungry. Yeah, and the other side of it is, of course, you are going to feel tired at that time. So it's good. It's a good time to go to bed. But there's no you time, no TV, no kind of, because you the time's ticking until 2:30 again. It's like, the, yeah. You know, 7 p.m., you're like, oh, my God, I've only got this amount of hours until I have to get up again. But I knew you were an early morning job. She's an early morning one.
The alarm goes off and you don't hit snooze. You just roll yourself out of bed and then you're up. And the day can start.
Yeah, there's no choice. And you have to convince yourself it is the only way, to be honest, because, the day would get away from you. There's no opportunity at 5 p.m. for you. Mm-mm, no deal. So, yeah,
no,
I love it.
No.
That's how you stuck to it. And, yeah, for anyone that wants to look at Jen's picture, it's absolutely, she's pretty much stage ready. If there was a competition anywhere near you, but you'd have to fly I don't even know if they have. Well, they probably do, but yeah, you'd have to fly there. But you might win. You might win your fare back in competition. You know, glory or something. A little plastic coat. But yeah, you're looking pretty. You're looking pretty bloody good. So, have you managed to maintain something along those lines? Like for the, you know, is that your goal now to stay nearish to that particular physique would be. I don't know, like that's pretty hard, but somewhere near there wouldn't be too bad for you, yeah?
Yeah, so my plan of attack from now is to work out for me what normal everyday can look like. So I'm still going to the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning. That is ingrained and I want that to stay. That's doable for me.
Yeah.
When it comes to the food, I'm trying to adapt with what I can do day to day, not be so food focused and you know, that it's okay if I want to have, I don't know, a slice of cake for someone's birthday.
Yeah.
That have that cake. It's okay to have that cake. So it's finding that balance of too much, too little. So I have stayed very close to, I guess, the weight that I was. I've gone up a bit. And I'm happy with that. I'm completely fine with that. I don't think what I got at the end of the 12-week challenge, you know, I'm a 40-year-old woman and I don't think that's not what I want to be long-term, if you know what I mean.
It's not sustainable even for a 20-year-old, that kind of physique. It's a comp-level physique and that's you get in, you get out and you find your maintenance calories that allow you to live every day. Otherwise, you do become too hyper-food-focused, which is actually not good. If you're constantly thinking about food, that's no way to live either. You know, that's almost the wrong way. So, and you recognize that, but you did it for a comp. You were competing and you got to the top. So now it's about, as you said, you know, gym can stay. Now, where do we go with the food? We build our calories up to maintenance. We see you could probably end up doing a bit of a surplus and going into a little bit of a building phase eventually, you know, that we don't go further down to wherever you were. We go back up.
And I didn't, I think where I hit, I think towards the last 2 weeks of the challenge, you know, that weight was really dropping and I was trying to, I wanted to do the best I could with my body physically, but I also recognize that actually I might need a few more calories. What I'm doing right now might be a little bit too low. So, you know, tweaking it, but not over tweaking it and having that freedom of knowing I can tweak it, but then not getting carried away.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's very motivating and inspiring for people, especially when they see your picture and they hear about what else is going on in your life. So, I mean, look, pretty much everything was your biggest challenge. But what would you say out of everything was something that you could say was the biggest obstacle that you overcame while you were doing the challenge, if you had to boil it down?
I don't think there is a single biggest challenge. For me, getting out of the headspace of the juggling, the balancing, finding the life balance, I had to learn to scrap that and think about it differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a juggling game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got all these balls up in the air and I need to juggle them all, but do I need to really juggle them all? Mm. So I being okay with putting a ball down. Mm-hmm. So my being an educator, I have to bring work home. I've decided that's a ball I'm going to just chuck in the corner and that thing can collect cobwebs. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. So it's changing the mindset of this balancing act to just a juggling act and trying to get all my balls to be roughly the same size and weight and ditching the ones that I don't need in rotation and being okay with ditching those balls and just juggling what I can juggle.
Mm.
So I guess it's more for me that the biggest challenge or the struggle was the mental mind game of life in general and how I need to make sure that I'm happy, I'm doing what I need to be doing, and the parts of my life are moving along as they should.
So what advice would you give to anyone who is starting the challenge? Maybe let's just say for the very first time, someone who hasn't, I reckon you're such a nice, generous person. I reckon you'll be able to give advice to a first timer. What would you say are a few steps that they should take?
Find your motivation. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
What is that reason that you're doing it? And, you know, I guess I can't put into words how important that is. Because you will keep going back to that as the challenge goes on. You're going to hit a hurdle and you have to go back and think, why am I doing this? What was the reason? Find your motivation, whether it's for you or, you know, for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Find it, but make sure it always comes back to you. You are the most important person in your life. Try and find that internal motivation.
So
motivation to get stuff done. The dog's just pulling the house apart. We're right.
That's all right. That's normal. So when you say that, what was the voice inside you that kept pushing you? What was that? What's that thing that speaks to you?
I'm in my me. Like, who am I? For me, I am a mother. Mm-hmm. I am a wife. I am, you know, all these things to all these people, even my students. I teach some pretty amazing young people, but they also have massive challenges in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm something to them. I'm something to everybody, but I wasn't something to myself.
Mm.
So for me, who am I post-infertility? Who am I, you know, post-children? I needed this to reconnect with who I am as a person because I was, you know, I'll be completely honest, July last year, I was not in a very good headspace at all.
Mm.
And it took someone sitting me down and saying, Jen, it's okay to not be okay, and actually hear me, that I thought, actually, you know, it is okay to not be okay, but I can do something about this. And that for me was the challenge and how, you know, it was part of it. And how all these scripted things, I had full control of my food, I had full control of my workout, and then I learned that I had full control of my accountability. And that was me. It was me changing me with the tools that someone else gave me. And for me to find me, like, fitness has always been a massive part of my life. I played hockey, I played a lot of sport. And to get that back in my life makes me happier. It makes me calmer around my children. It makes me not stress about the small things when I'm at work, and I find I'm not as snarky. And that's really nice because, you know, as a mother, you'd know, like, you know, when you are being snarky, there's a little voice in your head saying you're being snarky, you need to stop, but your mouth keeps moving while your brain's chatting away at you. So I don't do that anymore. And I'm like, you know, I'm stoked to be the first runner-up. I'm so thankful. But for me, finding my me again and who I am as this person, you know, it's been really liberating.
And, wow.
You know.
I just can't believe that all of this has come out of our little challenge. Like, how, that's just so exciting. That makes my heart so excited that, you know, you're in such a good spot now. What do your students think? Are they of the new Jen? Are they like, you're crazy? Have they seen your picture?
No. They have seen the veins on my arms.
Oh, yeah. What are they?
Which are that some of the jokes aren't appropriate to be saying to other people. But they've been saying some pretty funny jokes about the veins that are popping out of my arms, and you know, we've done the gun show with each other, and you know, it's just a bit of nice banter to have.
Yeah.
But no, they've noticed, and they've also noticed that I'm a lot more chill than I used to be. Yeah. So, and that's been really nice.
How good is that? That you know, your physical and mental are so connected. You know, you would know
they
that. You'd know that also through the journey of infertility. You know, that kind of a thing where it's all so connected in terms of the way that your body is responding is also going to affect your mind and each element. And to be in harmony again, it sounds like you're in harmony again. And it's like, you know, 40, you've got another bloody 50, 60 years in you now where you can be in harmony, you know, with your kids as well. Like, you know, what more could you want?
No, well, yeah, I'm definitely in a lot better place than I was, you know, even a year ago.
Well, that's so exciting. That's so good. So, Jen, before we wrap up, tell me just one thing. Now, this is on the spur of the moment, so you might have to, you might go, oh, no, she's asked me something, because you and your routine, you'll be like, oh, no, this wasn't on the sheet. What would you say is your motto? Like, what's your saying that you say to yourself daily, or something that, you know, you kind of go by?
So it's always been my go-to, and it's not just for this. It's been, you know, throughout infertility and through all the struggles in my life, is this too shall pass. Mm. And it applies to so many things, you know, relating to going to the gym, the pain that you're feeling when you're busting out that last squat, that pain will pass. But, you know, on a greater level of, you know, if you're hitting that rut, that it's just a moment. It is just a blip on the radar. And if you can make it past that blip, you know, it's gone. You won't revisit it. You can keep moving forward, but it's important to just keep going.
I love it. It too shall pass. That's so good. I've loved this chat with you today. I'm going to get you on as a guest again. I don't know how, or I don't know when, but we will chat again.
I really wanted to sit here and wear my shirt, but it hasn't come in the mail yet. I've seen all the people posting all their photos. I'm like, oh, my shirt.
I reckon it'll be out fairly soon. You'll have to send me a secret pic. I won't put it up.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing everything today. I know that you're going to help so many people, so I really appreciate it. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And well done, everybody. Such a good job.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.